This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It is 1:12 p.m. on Monday, September 30th, and I'm going to call the meeting of the CJC to order. So the first thing that we're going to look at is approval of the minutes from the September 23rd meeting. If anyone has any comments or questions changes.
I just have one, and that is throughout the minutes, occasionally here and there, there's a name that's cited of M. Herring. And I think that's meant to be M. Hatch. Because there is no M. Herring on the committee.
Could you point me to one of the pages?
I'll try to. I have it in my computer. But
oh, you mean Horton?
Horton.
Yeah, they got Hatch sometimes.
Yeah, got Hatch every once in a while. But
page 3 is Horton.
Right, just do a search for Horton and change it to Hatch.
Oh, I'm sorry
about
that.
Did you say all this stuff?
Yeah, just make sure that's you.
Well, let's see. What did you say? M. Horton said, from the perspective of someone who was... Yes, that's me.
Yeah. Okay, so I recommend then, if there are no other changes, that someone makes a motion to approve the minutes with the changes that wherever M. Harton is located, it will be changed to M. Hatch to reflect Marty. Okay, so Jen's making a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Richard. If there's no further discussion, I'll take a vote. So all in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Any opposed? And no abstentions, so we're good for that. Quickly before we go to business of the day, I'm just going to add one more item. I'm going to switch from item B to being item C, and B will now be a discussion of questions that we have for President Pollack when she goes to the University Assembly meeting tomorrow. I spoke with UA Chair Bob Howarth about whether we could participate as the CJC in the meeting and have speaking privileges, and was not given a response. And then my other recommendation was to afford me quite a bit of time to give the CJC and to ask any of the questions that we come up with. So I'm guessing that's the route that we're going to go to. That whatever questions we figure out today, I will be asking tomorrow. But since the meeting's open, I do recommend that anybody goes, because the primary discussion will be about the code.
When is it?
It's tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. And then I think it's in its typical location.
The Wild Physics Science.
Yeah.
Wild.
Oh, it's in Wild tomorrow.
Isn't it? No, I'm sorry. Let me look it up.
It's usually in the...
It's in physics.
So we're going to start by looking over the resolution. Margaret, if you're able to put that up here, if not, we all have it in our packet, and that is page... I guess it's technically page 7. It's going to be after the minutes. I'm going to make a recommendation that we either table this motion or discuss not going through with it altogether, just because I think it's just reinforcing the rights of the CJC, and that's already within our bylaws. And we are considering anything that comes through the president's office, also anything that comes through any of the other constituent groups. So I want to open that up for discussion for anyone either to amend the language or to discuss potentially tabling it either indefinitely or for a period of time, etc.
I'd like to make a suggestion about this. It says proposed by Martin Hatch, but you actually charged both Richard and me to do something. And so I'd like this to be, if Richard is agreeable, to make it be that this be a subcommittee with a resolution. solution as opposed to something I seemingly proposed. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Okay. Thank you.
Gotcha. I'm at two minds. Postponing to the next meeting, or to the next meeting, by tabling it now, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I'm really moving on the code. On the other hand, passing this today might harm you in some ways for the discussion tomorrow. I can also see that being the case. So what I would suggest is that we pass it now, and if there are, and maybe in the next we can amend it or have more discussion, but I'd like to see us do it now, so that you are armed properly for tomorrow. So I move we pass it.
I have a slight amendment.
Since there's a motion on the table to pass it, do you want to take that off the table for a second?
Just a second.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. It's just I've forgotten that in the fifth whereas, right before a resolve, the verb is missing between whereas the CJC, comma, cognizant. I'm sorry. Did you get that?
No. I have it written down and I have.
Okay, we'll just put the word is between CJC, between the comma after CJC and cognizant. Okay, sorry. I'm going back to Richard's, I'd second that.
Okay, so Richard, do you want to propose to pass
it? I know we passed it.
Seconded by Marty. So we're going to keep this open for discussion if anyone has anything they'd like to add. Lisa?
Well, just so we're all on the same page in terms of what the intent of this resolution is and, you know, what it will accomplish. So my understanding is that this is here to make clear that even though we were given from the council's office the idea of separating out a student code of conduct, that we'll consider that we haven't decided to do that and that we may in fact decide to have a broader, to stay with the campus code of conduct more broadly. And when appropriate, we will decide whether to actually have a separate student code or whether we will say we still want a campus code for everybody with perhaps some clear designations of what applies to certain groups as opposed to not applying to other groups. But that's the process we're going through, and we're not committing to any particular approach to having a separate student code of conduct. So that's my understanding of the purpose of the resolution. I think the question is, do we need this resolution to make that clear to anybody who wants to know, well, look, or for example, anybody from the administration who might say, well, look, you're talking about the student code now, so you've already decided to adopt it. Right. So if this will make that more clear, that is that we have not adopted the idea of a separate student code, I'm in favor of it. If we don't need this to make that clear, I don't think we need a resolution.
So yeah, I just want to, quickly before I call on you, Marty, I just want to reiterate that the reason I was speaking about tabling and potentially not moving altogether is based on Reese's point altogether, just that I don't want to throw it out there that we are now writing a student code of conduct, and if this resolution is to say that we're considering the development of the student code of conduct, like, or the student portion, I think that is what would hurt us.
Well, let me say that's why that clause says several amendments and so have been proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next clause says one or more of the amendments advances the ideas of the student code of conduct, but it doesn't say, and we will not consider that, and we are presently considering that. It just says that's an example of why this resolution is necessary. That's why we did it. And there's other reasons that are not stated here, and that those reasons come from statements that have been recounted to me, that A, the judicial administrator wants a student code, period. B, the president has said somewhere, informally or formally, but not maybe not formally because it hasn't come to us, I want a student code. So those two things lurk in the background. I'm putting them in the record here because it means that this says if you want a student code, you propose one, which they have done, but that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And we will consider it the way we consider anything having to do with the code because the UA-CJC combination is vested in the code, vested with the responsibility of the code by approval of the president, former president, and the Board of Trustees, period. And if you want to change that, you have to
test
us somehow, yeah, or test some way. Mm-hmm. I've also heard that there's a possibility of a fiat, that the Board of Trustees can say, we reject this, but on the we reject that this UA and the CJC are in charge of the code. But I'm not certain how that could take place. If anybody around the table who has experience with those things can tell me, I don't know. Would the Board of Trustees present a resolution to what governing body?
To itself.
Mm-hmm.
To itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's got the power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Because it has sort of universal plenary power.
I'm sorry, before we go further, if anybody doesn't know, this is Kevin Claremont, invited guest and longstanding invited guest for any meeting in which he hopes to attend, professor of law,
okay,
and part of the original drafters of the code.
I just wonder, Marty, whether or not mentioning the student code of conduct, mm-hmm, sort of legitimizes that as a suggestion.
I see.
That is my fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay. Several amendments and four relations, so we could just leave that clause out.
Well, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We close it.
Yeah.
That's the fourth whereas.
Kind of privileges.
All right. I accept that.
Okay,
that's
so
a proposal.
Removing the language related to
I accept that as a friendly
code
amendment.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
So we can just cross it out.
So, yeah, if we remove the language of the student code of conduct and the here and after SCC, which kind of creates this student code,
yes, I agree
that
terrific.
This is... But at the same time, I also agree with Risa that we're kind of just reaffirming what it says within our bylaws, what our duties are. Yes, Richard.
No, I agree with that. I do think, though, it is necessary. I think you're armed better tomorrow if we do this,
yeah,
than if you just say, you know, it's our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We're just being careful. And we can always come back. There's some clause in here that we won't, you know, we want to address later. We can address it later.
Yeah.
But I really that we want you armed.
Yeah. So I recommend then that we figure out like the actual language right now and what it looks like removing student code of conduct, and is it scratching that whole part? Are we adding different language instead? Because once this is passed, I'm going to have to send it to the UA today.
That'd be great. We had a request to open the window.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, okay, so it's been accepted as a friendly amendment.
I just before we vote on it, I want to make sure that the entire committee is aware of what the actual language is going to be, because friendly amendment removing the student code of conduct doesn't exactly give us like the full picture readability of what we're actually going to send. So is that section just being scratched?
Yes.
Okay.
We're just taking out that word.
Whereas, right. So
and I think everything else,
right.
Rita.
It's just a small thing. I think we could take out the in the third whereas, the first the.
Whereas several amendments.
So it just says whereas several rather than whereas the several.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So strike.
Thank you.
Think that is
that's
a
another grammatical.
I think that is a friendly amendment.
Thank
you. We'll just do it.
Yeah.
As long as you got the is, you have the is, right? We're pulling a V and adding an A. Got it.
Does anyone know how to, or otherwise I'm knowing the changes, so
I also have the changes here.
I think there's an exercise after the first whereas.
I was just going to say,
I know that's...
James is pointing out a section of space after the first.
Yeah, mine was
there. Just like the extra space right there.
Just take out
this. Okay, so with that, I agree with the committee, and I think that this is something that just arms the CJC and reaffirms our goals and what we're working on, and I am no longer in of the mindset or position to tell us that I believe that we should table or not move forward. And so, so we are going to vote. So all in favor of approving the resolution as amended, raise your placards. All right, any opposed? And abstentions. And so this is moved. Okay. Margaret, is it possible to get a working draft up here again?
Can you help me with this section? I'm just not sure which of these.
Professor Brown, you also have your memos in the back. If you have anything specific that you wanted to add, we are very happy to hear your comments.
That's the issue, Mari.
In addition to these, or
I think
just if you want to explain, these are your memos. Yeah, they're great, but in case which is going to be something that we'll have to discuss when it's back up.
It doesn't say it's the student code of conduct on the website.
No. Okay. But the working draft that we were given by the UCouncil's office.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have to discuss that. Yes, Richard.
So Logan, just an informational question.
Yeah.
The University Council is going to give us the rest of their...
So I emailed last week after our meeting, and I was told that we would get the procedural section of the draft by the end of last week, and I still haven't received it. I sent another email. Madeline Wessels out of the office until, let me quickly just say until when. So I'm not quite sure what's happening. It says that she's traveling from September 24th until the 30th, so I'm guessing I'll receive a response tomorrow, but I still don't have the procedural section.
But they haven't said they won't do it.
No, they have not. Risa?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's good for us to keep a chronology of these things, because they're kind of treating this like a speedy trial.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, like pushing us to you have to get it done by X date, and you know, just like under the speedy trial rule, certainly in New York, and I assume other places, you know, the delays get held against the party that's responsible for them. So, you know, this has been my concern also, not just the delay, but that it feels to me, and I mentioned that the last time we met, like, it feels to me like the administration is really trying to separate out the procedures from the substance.
From the substance?
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of, you know, bifurcate the code in different ways, and I'm just concerned that these delays also indicate more of that. So I think we really need to hold the administration to its own delays and getting us the full thing before we have any sense of being able to look at it as a whole.
I'm going to recommend that while we try to get our Google document up here, which might take a couple of minutes, we move on to discussing questions that we have for the president.
I want to come back to the question of why we're looking at this now, because we started out, why do we even have to have it up? Because my point is, that we've already said that the student code of conduct is not an issue right now for us. And this has been presented to us as the Cornell Student Code of Conduct. I know we're talking about it being a part of the campus code of conduct and so forth. But it strikes me that until we have a better idea of where it fits, we don't need to talk about the sections that are here already.
We did vote, though, to work off of that template as a committee. And Joseph, sorry for didn't call on you.
No, you probably were going to explain the same thing I was.
Yeah, so we did vote as a committee to work off of that template. So in whatever regard we do choose to work off of the template, if we decide to change gears and switch from a general principles and values, definition, scope, prohibited conduct, and have it under the campus code, which it has originally been, that's just something that we're going to have to vote again as a committee. But for the time being, we did vote to focus on the student portion. So to undo that, we would need to have a new motion and a new discussion.
I make that motion.
Okay, so Marty's proposing that we work on within the U Council's draft as the campus code of conduct, rather than focusing specifically as a student code of conduct. Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
Well, I'll give an argument for it once there's a second.
A second is just for discussion.
Mm-hmm. Here, I'll second.
Yeah, please, a second.
But I have some issues.
Well, I mean, we voted to look at something that was called the Student Code of Conduct. We have a code of conduct already called the Campus Code of Conduct. The committee, through the years, has worked with the Campus Code of Conduct to clarify, to change sections that needed elaboration. And we have just passed the resolution which has affirmed that as being the committee's role. And in the course of passing that, we made our statement that we made a change to the resolution to withdraw a section which specified the campus the student code of conduct. But in the course of that, we affirmed that we will consider recommendations to the campus code of conduct. We don't have that in front of us. We don't have that in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
What I would suggest we do, because I think we can make some real progress on some of the substantive language in here, is I suggest that we simply identify the places, you know, kind of flag the places where it says student code with the understanding. We can even put it in the margins and comments that we will consider whether to that this should be brought into the campus code, because there's a lot of stuff in here on principles and values and, you know, other basic commitment to responsible speech and expression, where we might, if we decide to have it as a broader campus code, we might say, well, that's fine to apply to everybody. So I think if we just flag the places where it says student code of conduct with the understanding that we will go back to that and see if it should be broader, or perhaps just decide now, can this apply to everybody? And just have that as something that we put in our margins that we can continue to move forward on and say, well, let's not look at this. Because I think there's some stuff in here we should look at.
An alternative would be to work off the draft that's on their website, which is a campus code of conduct. It says nothing about a student code of conduct, and it has the violations. That's what I was looking at. I didn't know about this draft. But that would accomplish Marty's aim, and without having to redraft and knock out student or suspend student. Yeah, no, they're going to come eventually with this.
We're going to look at this at some point.
Well, after they put it on the website as a proposal, they haven't put anything but the violations up on the community's website.
Okay.
I think it just, you know, makes sense for us to keep going on this, because that's just what it's going to be. Like, I don't think that, I mean, there's been so many changes with the fact what's actually on the the UA's website that, and we don't even agree that stuff should even be on the website. I mean, we passed a resolution next last meeting saying, get this off the website. And so I just think, you know, here's the one that we have right in front of us. It's in the most simplified version instead of Frankenstein from last time. And then, you know, exactly what Risa said, just flag it for student. If we don't like it, you know, if we come back and say, this can just be the campus code, and just pull off everything that says about students. And I think it just makes sense.
So I have a different opinion. So after taking some time to think about Risa's original jurisdictional argument about what it would mean to create a student code of conduct within the greater campus code of conduct and what that now means for the employee assembly, the GPSA, the SA, and the faculty senate, I believe that it would be a smart call for us to continue working off of this draft, but with the understanding that some of the violations are more pertinent to some members of the community. Not necessarily saying that it's a student code of conduct, but understanding that some of the violations are going to be more pertinent to students, especially if we include Greek life. And I think that most of the changes that we would see needing a lot of reworking are mainly in the procedural section, and that would be how we're handling employee and faculty.
I think something that needs to be considered is the structural difference that this code has. This has the JA's office in the Dean of Students. That's a very structural thing that needs to happen from a student standpoint, and that's why keeping the code the student code and doing what we suggested last time was having this overarching, like, umbrella campus code. That makes sense, because then we have different actors in the room, because there should be no reason why the JA's office under a Dean of Students should be pursuing cases where employees and faculty members are, like, the people that are the respondent or complainant. Really, this is so tailored to the student experience here at Cornell that this should just be part of an umbrella of what we call the campus code of conduct, unified by a set of principles. I think that allows there to have every constituency firmly heard and still have the UA system make sense. Mm-hmm. Because then we can talk about things that are applicable to each constituency, but then we can also talk about the principles that unite us in these similar UA structures.
So I agree with you for the most part, except I'm speaking mainly right now just to this section that we're looking at right now, and I think a lot of the issues that are going to come up with what applies where is going to be more procedurally, but a lot of these definitions do apply to everyone
I agree
in the
with
community.
That.
So I think that it's a mistake to view this document just tailored towards students, because we do run the risk of taking away valuable rights to employees and faculty members. So I do think that this committee should reconsider this document being tailored towards students and consider it as a broader campus code for violations, and then deal with the nitty-gritty in the procedural section where how things are handled are going to be different. Risa.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that you are saying things that are all that different.
No.
Right. Okay, good. So that what I would do is change my suggestion just a little bit, because it feels to me like there's general agreement on the areas of principles and values and rights that they should apply to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as we go through, maybe we should, you know, have edit where it says student code, just to say the campus code applies to, you know, and then we can go back and tinker with it a little bit. But since this area that we're looking at has to do with rights and basic principles, it seems like everybody should be able to exercise those and have expectations of those being protected. Why don't we just try it out to say, how would it work as a campus code for that section?
Mm-hmm. You know? So that's my recommendation.
Yeah.
I think we're all saying the same thing. Yeah, I'm just making sure that we're not sticking to just student at the top here. Mm-hmm. It's mainly just the top where we're now talking about a student code of conduct, which is creating an entirely new document almost, where this is applying across the board to everyone. Marty?
Yeah, well, you said something in the course of what you were arguing that makes it appear as if there's a broader implication to even if we take the word student off of it, that is that the JA's office would move to be in the student affairs.
Yeah.
And that assumes then that everything adjudicated under the code of conduct, if you even call it campus code of conduct, would be adjudicated in the Dean of Students office, and that the JA is a JA for student offenses. And I think that's a mistake, because it undermines the sense that this is a campus code. It says it's a student code, period, even if it doesn't say it at the top. And I think that's in your mind. It certainly is in the mind of the judicial administrator. The judicial administrator said as much to me. And I would suggest that that is capitulating to a different view. It's not a view that she expressed when she was interviewed for the job. She was willing to take the job. In fact, she believed in the job as being a campus code enforcer. But she has since said these words, and she's caught the ear of many people. I'm being right out there on this, and I think it's a mistake to capitulate to that, because I think we are undermining shared governance by doing so. We're accepting. I know that there's a problem, that the JA feels there's a problem with her administering penalties against faculty members. Mm-hmm. Because she feels she's in a different class, she's an employee or something of that sort. That would be like saying the police would complain if they had to arrest somebody who was of a different class. Let's say a military officer who's a sergeant being arrested by a regular police officer.
So I'm going to just quickly cut in, Marty, and say that I think that we're going into a realm of like the procedural discussions that we can't really go to until we have that document. And for right now, I'm just recommending that instead of working off of this student code of conduct, we stay with the entire community for this portion, and then we consider the rest as it comes.
There's definitely a portion within the principles and values that does outline that change of the JA's office moving to VPSEL, so that is in there, so that's why I did bring it up, because that is listed, and maybe that's a section that we flag now, and we say, we'll pull this, we'll wait to really flesh this out in policies and procedures, and in fact, that's exactly what it says, is there is going to be that where it's delineated, so like where we see that paragraph, we'll just pull
it. Yeah, thank you for that clarification.
Yeah.
Richard?
There are two big issues that we don't, at least two big issues. One is the JA's office, and the other one is fraternities and sororities. But I kind of think we should move down until we reach those points, and we'll have some better idea, of collective idea, about how we want the code to work out by the time we get there. And then that'll inform our discussions. But I think it's premature now to do that.
Well, this principles and values, which I'd never seen before, seems to be a good deal more compact than the principles and values in the current campus code. Has anybody gone through and found out what they left out? I mean, the Title I includes the Barcelo report, which was a free speech thing. This is where they could be pulling a fast one. Is anybody being careful about this?
Nope.
Because the violations I went through and figured out what they had changed. But I didn't know this was on the table.
Well, I didn't put them right next to each other. What I did was read it to see how I thought it sounded, and then I thought about areas where I thought that were left out. And so what we have in this, we've gone through it and made recommendations as committee members that we're going to discuss and have been discussing about what should be put back in. And I think that what we can do once we do that is do just what you said, do the double check to say, are we now satisfied that it's got everything in there protective, that's needed. Yeah.
Although, why are they redrafting it? I don't know.
Well, that's, we've been wondering that. Okay.
Well, let's wonder. Yeah.
Well, I just feel like we need to make some progress on things that we actually agree on, and then we can say, is that sufficient? it just feels to me like we need to...
So you're accepting the fact that we just don't take the campus code and make it more readable, which was the original charge. I mean, I understand, if somebody gives you a new draft, you don't immediately capitulate and say, okay, we'll work from your draft.
I think all of us are, many of us at least, are at least somewhat skeptical about what the motives are of these. And I think that's why we've had these discussions about what are we losing if we carve out a student code. With that skepticism, I've been trying to read this first part to say, well, maybe it would be okay to make something edited in a way that includes all the protections that we want, and that we, you know, have iterations of that as we're checking back and forth. I don't have a problem with doing that, and it feels to me like we can make some progress, and we can have another round of this. That's my view.
Yeah, I also just want to reiterate that we agreed to use this as like a loose template and not to adhere to it. So nothing in this draft is what at the end of the day we're deciding we're going to send to the UA. I do, though, think that we need to make the decision whether we're at the top calling it a student code of conduct for how we are going through this document, because this committee did vote to keep that language. So if we are going to flesh out that some sections are going to be more pertinent to some members of the community, we do need to address that this would then no longer be called at the top a Cornell Student Code of Conduct. And I highly recommend that until we figure out what we do, we do change that to the Campus Code of Conduct, and that would need a motion.
So moved.
So Reese is moving to switch for the time being as we deliberate, for this no longer to read as the Cornell Student Code of Conduct and a separate section, but to be a part of the greater Campus Code of Conduct.
So you're striking student in the first two lines.
Is there a second?
I second that.
So Richard seconds, and now we're open for any debate or concerns or comments.
Well, I read through Kevin's memoranda. Did everybody read them?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the way the campus code has worked for 20 years, and it's changed. And the Codes and Judicial Committee has done a great job through the years doing that. I'm not going to praise what I'm doing, but I think there's so much ambiguity that's around the room about whether or not this really needs to be done, period, that I'm interested in. If this motion fails, that's on the table, considering whether we want to reframe and just say we have a code of conduct, let's work with that in ways to clarify it according to the desires and needs where it's appropriate of the administration. I strongly urge that we defeat the motion and that we abandon this code as it's presented to us, the alternative.
So that would be a whole nother motion altogether.
No, I am suggesting that we defeat this motion.
Just defeating the motion, and you want to remain working on a student code of conduct?
No.
Because that is what we're voting on right now. I just want to make
that
clear.
That's true. I want to defeat it, and then I'll propose a motion that we rescind our interest in considering it in the first place.
So I'm going to recommend for right now, since we are tasked and we are trying to move forward at least with these revisions for the time being, that we vote. And this vote is solely just that for the time being, we're not committing to a student portion of the code of conduct, and we're looking at the graded campus code of conduct, at least until we see the specific language that was tasked by President Pollack in revising for readability, and that it has absolutely nothing to do necessarily with, it's literally just saying that we're including all members of the community in this current working draft that we're working on, and I just want to reiterate that. So that is what we're voting on. Yes.
Specifically, we're voting on
changing the language
in the first two sentences. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that has a second. right?
Yes, it does. So I'm going to call for a vote. So all in favor of changing from the student code of conduct to the campus code of conduct as it relates to this working draft, please raise your placard. All right, and opposed. And abstention. So we have 3 yes, 2 no, 1 abstention. So I don't have a parliamentarian desire. Does that mean that if I vote also it fails?
Depending how you vote.
Right. So I am going to vote in favor.
So it passes.
And pass.
So I make a motion that we...
Margaret, I voted in favor, so that one just passed.
Okay. I make a motion that we table this version, whether no matter what it is called, and seek clarification about what it is that is necessary to do to clarify the code as it presently exists, the campus code of conduct.
Is there a second on that motion for discussion?
Here, I'll second it. So here's my thinking about sort of the politics of this and kind of the diplomacy around it. Like last year, we didn't make any headway working with the last, you know, iteration to try to streamline the code. For various reasons, I don't think we need to revisit that. I think that if we just say, okay, the hell with everything you gave us, we're just not going to work with it, we're going to go back to our campus code and just, you know, work with that, I think that would be a mistake. I think it would create even more friction than already exists. What I'd rather do is see what the administration gave us here, go through it, do what I know I've been doing, and even more, as Kevin said, you know, to do even more of that, to double check, and just simply put back into this, or put into this what we believe is important. I mean, I understand that if you, that it kind of shifts the burden, you know, that if we start with what we had already and say we want to keep it and bring in what you've suggested, you know, that it has a different kind of a tone to it. So, but it really feels to me like, in looking at these principles and values, that I think a lot of this section is okay, and that with saying, look, there are certain things you want to put in there, we're just not going to do it. Like I'm big on, you know, not putting in that civility stuff, and that there are things that we want to bring back in which we think should be explicit, and here's what we propose at the end to have, right? That we started with their thing and we said, but we're not stuck to it, but here's the product we've come up with. I just think that we can make some advances that way. And it looks like we're acting in good faith with the administration.
Richard?
Yeah, I agree with much of what Teresa just said. Yeah. Just add, you know, to reject the council's draft or proposals out of hand seems premature. I mean, we need to look at it first. It's also the case that I think many of us, certainly me, I mean, I would really like a discussion of the code, regardless of what, and we've agreed that this would be the draft we use for that. It's just so I learn what it is and what the issues are. And at the end of the day, you know, we get, you know, end of November or something, and then we can say, you know, we've really worked on this and so forth and so on, and, you know, that doesn't seem to be much of an improvement over the original. We could do that. But to do it too early seems a mistake. I mean, it's really, we have spent maybe 30 minutes discussing special, the particular items in the code. And, you know, that's just not enough to reject it out of hand. We really need to learn the code ourselves.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry,
I accept the views of my colleagues. I would suggest, however, that we be very careful, because hidden in those views, or not your views, but hidden in what is here, mm-hmm. is a whole idea of taking the judicial administrator's role out of, I mean, there's lots of implications, as has been said around this table, taking it out of and setting up separate judicial systems. And I'm happy to vote with everybody to say, well, look at this seriously, as long as everybody is realizing that there's a curtain here, and behind that curtain, heaven knows what there is. And we also have statements to that effect from people already, that this is not meant to be a campus code. It is meant to be a student code. And the rest of the campus can decide later what they want to do.
John? I guess I'm new to Cornell. I'm new to this committee. I'm a little bit lost on the history, right? I have no idea really what the history is or where all the emotions and the attachments to this is coming from. I'm just trying to understand, if we're focusing on the JA thing, what is the wishes of this committee to have the JA report to the Dean of Students, which is a very traditional student affairs higher ed model, right? Hands down, I was a Dean of Students before I came here. The judicial person reported to me. It makes sense. It's developmental. I understand that. And as an employee, I was always governed by human resources, faculty. There was a faculty senate, and, you know, different models everywhere. So what's the concern? I don't know the history of anything, and I don't feel like I can be valuable unless somebody explains that to me.
May I say a word about that? Yeah. Unless you know the answer.
A brief one, please.
Okay, and Richard, you know the answer.
And the charge would be really helpful too.
And Kevin, you know the answer.
What were we charged to do?
I'm trying.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, somebody other than me should say that. It has to do with protests. It has to do with speech. It has to do with a lot of things that are going on, that have gone on in the past. That's the history. That we're all in the same boat. All right, but maybe that's improper.
Yeah. Let me. I think this is really important from a student perspective to hear why this is a change process. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, when a black student was beat up in College Town and said and was called a racial slur and a blatant hate crime, black students on this campus fundamentally believed that they were not valued, and they didn't believe the campus code of conduct was doing a good job of actually protecting students. Mm-hmm. They came to the university assembly, 300, 400, 500 students in fold, and there we decided we will change the campus code of conduct and evaluate if our definitions of harassment, if our definitions of student safety, and our definition of speech are consistent with other universities in protecting those students. Mm-hmm. That process failed that semester. There were some recommendations given that started at the beginning of last year that the CJC worked upon. No document was ever given to the UA. And so at the end of last year, essentially the UA asked University Counsel's office, can you please write us something that you think that would benefit you, that you saw would be the future of the judicial system here at Cornell? Mm-hmm. They provided us this document this year, articulating student code of conduct. That articulation was made when President Pollack's initial Diversity Inclusion Task Force Subcommittee on Speech and Harassment offered this as one of their recommendations. That committee said, we think it would make sense to have this be a student code of conduct. The UA at the time disagreed last year. That's why this went back and forth, and that's why we have this. And I think, you know, I'll offer an undergraduate perspective, and I'll offer it from the student assembly perspective. This is something that we think will benefit students. This is something that we think will open the black box of the JA's office for students to actually be involved, for students to actually be taught what happens on this campus, to be taught to be better citizens in the world and really protect our most marginalized students. And I can say firmly that this is, again, personal opinion, obviously not what the committee agreed to do, but at the fundamental end of the day, I do support a student code of conduct with the JA reporting to the students.
I think it's so important to really think about, in today's day and age, how students really do fight and advocate for their safety and their needs to be met and their security in a system that governs them. And that alone puts in my head where I would lean in a decision, because as a former Dean of Students, as a current Director of Students, that's what I want. I want our students to see themselves and know that we've built the best process to protect our students while they're on our campus and part of our community, whether it's here or Weill or in New York, wherever, you know, all those things.
So I don't know, that's why I voted against changing it. But I think if that's what the charge is to do, I don't know why we're going back. But it wasn't the charge.
It wasn't. Yeah, so I just want to reiterate once again, this is a template that we were given,
right,
that's changing it to a student code. And I would not have voted typically as a chair. And the only reason I am right now is because I am representing the entire group, and I want to make sure that before we understand the implications, we know how this will affect faculty and staff.
Right.
And so that was not a vote by me as a member of the graduate community. That is me just trying to keep us from moving in a direction that could potentially harm members of the community. And of course, I understand the argument for a student code. That's why I kind of lean towards in the middle. How can we make the code more readable in a way that we distinguish what sections affect certain people in different ways without necessarily opening up this can of worms and creating various different codes for different bodies and what that would mean. Or if we create a faculty or a senate code, that's not really a code, and some of these values would potentially not be afforded.
Sorry, is there a faculty handbook that governs faculty?
I'm sure there is.
And these things aren't in there, like behavior and expectations? Sorry.
Reba.
Yeah. So there's two lines that are going on. One is, in terms of the code, one is what Joe described, which is a substantive concern with whether the code adequately protected students with regard to harassment and other forms of speech and conduct related harassment issues, particularly racial harassment, but also, and sexual harassment was taken out a while ago, which is a different history.
Yeah,
okay. So there's that substantive issue. And I think that everybody's agreed on the fact that that should be an effective part of the code, and the CJC worked on that. I was the head of a working group that worked on that. We produced a report, which we should make sure everybody reads.
Okay.
And that's going to be considered as part of that harassment discussion. There's another kind of line of things, which is broader, of the administration for at least 2 or so years saying, this code is too long. It's too hard to read. It's confusing. And then that came out more as a kind of a streamlining idea. Can we streamline things so that this is a usable code? Where this idea of a student code came from has been kind of interwoven with a conflict with the CJC. I think the CJC as a whole has been committed to a campus code where we all share in the rights and the values that are described, particularly at the beginning, that we have a lot of that in common. And to me, that is something that should not be parceled out. And it can be repeated elsewhere, like in the faculty handbook and elsewhere, but that we all share in certain aspects here. The question of procedurally, well, substantively, do all of the violations apply to all groups? We should discuss that. Procedurally, should the enforcement of violations be enforced the same for all groups? We can discuss that. But what I think we don't want to lose, and this does come out of the late 60s with the activism on campus, is a sense of, as a campus, we believe that we should exercise these kinds of democratic rights, and those shouldn't be parceled out to particular groups. So that's why I'm thinking we could really make some headway on this first part and actually agree on some things.
Richard, I have
this
helpful.
Yeah, I agree with all this. Particularly the last part, you know, this is a code just about shared governance. And if we get divided into staff, graduate students, faculty, undergraduates, get divided in that way, we're going to lose a lot of that. It is shared governance, and there's a real problem with the administration respecting that in a lot of ways. The second thing is specifically about the judicial administrator. The way it is now is suspended between the university assembly and the administration. That office is shared governance because it is suspended between the two. And I think, you know, for Joe's concerns and some of the others, we can we could address those later by saying those parts of the administration, you know, the JA would relate in some way to the Dean of Students. But it doesn't have to be the office entirely.
Who do they report to?
No one.
No, that's not true. They report to us.
They report to the CJC, we can
call in the judicial administrator at any point on any issue that comes up, and we have, you know, and it's my third year on this thing, we have failed in some ways to exercise that jurisdiction effectively. But, you know, it's there. So the reporting to, it's us. I think the administration has its own ways of getting the JA to talk to them, but it's to us. And we recommend appointment, and so forth and so on. So it's, those are my concerns. I think if anything, if there's any wolf in sheep's clothing in this document, I think it's in that section, because it would not increase student input or influence. Instead, it totally eliminate ours.
Kevin?
2 points. One, the history extends further back than 2 years.
Yeah.
And one point would be that in 2008, I was called into President Scorton's office and told we should rewrite the code. And I said, well, what are you thinking of? He says, I want more convictions. That's what the president's conception of rewriting the code was. And, you know, this idea about streamlining the code, that's code talk for getting rid of rights. That what President Scorton won was a model where the administrators could call people in and find them guilty. So true, the marginalized students, we have to be concerned about them with regard to substance, but we don't want to throw out all the other students with regard to procedure. And that's a big risk, and that's no doubt what the administration is up to. So you want to be very careful about the motives. To the earlier point, as a lawyer, you learn that in negotiations, what you want to do is get control of the first draft. And you want to do the first draft. You are conceding that to the counsel's office, and I think that's a mistake. You don't have to reject the counsel's proposal. It's simply what the first draft will be the code with the university stuff put into it. And that could all be done in the committee without saying to the counsel, we're rejecting your draft. Well, we're incorporating your draft. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just want to agree with Marty on point two, but I realize it's a lost cause. But let's not think that the administration certainly would want to respond to marginalized students because that's in the administrator's interest, but they're willing to do anything in order to do so.
Yeah, and I just want to once again reiterate, this is just the template we're using. So we can literally scratch all of the writing and...
That's what I'm proposing.
We can take from the original code and literally just post those sections right back in. So I just want to... This committee has never voted to use that draft as the end-all means. It's just kind of a template for readability. At the end of the day, we're just trying to create a more readable document.
Yes, I was going to say exactly that. Like, we should stop talking about this right now and just keep drafting and looking. And if we want to insert stuff from the old one, let's do it. We don't have the procedures and policies, and until we see those, like, then we can make the judgment if the administration is trying to skirt the rights. That we can see when they come. But as it stands right now, the principles and values, we can keep comparing it, the violations, the prohibited conduct, like, let's look at that. Like, let's make progress on this.
When you see the procedures, they'll just be student procedures.
Well, then we can have a discussion on
it. The fact
that staff
is that they don't want any procedures. It's just going to be handled at the WPLI.
I'm going to recommend, since, unfortunately, we're now at 2:11, and we are meeting next Monday, so thankfully we do have a pretty... tight schedule. I think that we need to discuss the questions that we want to ask President Pollack. And I think that for the value section, we really need to look at the old code and look at that really clearly. And I think that that is what should drive that discussion rather than going through that right now. So for principles and values, I absolutely think that we need to take some time, a step back in history, and really comb through the current code to have that discussion. And we do have this working draft, so we can do that need be and as going, and along with Richard's proposals from last semester also. Mm-hmm. But for right now, for the sake of time and efficiency, we're moving, mm-hmm. but we're definitely not moving as fast as we should have today. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to talk about the questions that we're going to ask President Pollack tomorrow, because I think that also is important, just to kind of, I don't have the actual task. I don't know what the language is, what our committee is meant to be doing. I believe it's based on readability. I've sent out various emails. I'm trying to get it. As soon as I get it, that will be sent to everyone, I promise. But for the time being, I do recommend that we talk about the questions, because we will at least get a little idea of what the administration is actually trying to have us accomplish by December, and then it will be within our realm to decide how we use that information. We do not need to adopt it. We have control within the bylaws to have those discussions and make these decisions, and just like the resolution that we passed, we will consider them, but we do not have to incorporate them. So I highly suggest that we start talking, or else we're going to lose that tomorrow.
So I, in the spirit of what's been discussed up now, I withdraw my motion. And I will make a statement that I think the first question, or a significant question that should be asked the President, is what exactly do you wish to have done with the current CAP code of conduct? I mean, and actually use that language, the current and ratified and acting, ratified and statutory, or however you say, campus code of conduct. And if the answer is we just need it cleaned up and clarified and stuff like that, that I think is an interesting answer. But the second question might be, a statement could be made that we will work on that, as opposed to, and then the test comes, I think, for us to decide whether her answer was authorizing us to do what we normally do, which is to simplify the code as it exists, or whether it was to take some, you know.
I'm also going to ask for that task language directly from the President's office, because I haven't gotten it from the U Council, I haven't gotten it from the UA, and I asked Gina to look into it today, so I don't know if the Office of the Assemblies has it also, but I can't find it, and I think that that's imperative, and I think it's a problem that this committee and each committee isn't given that in the beginning, since this is an ongoing process, so I'm going to work on it, but I think it's really important that we figure out specific questions that we want addressed by the President.
How long is your meeting?
You're saying that posing. I kept thinking you were meeting with the President. Oh, you're talking about posing.
This is going to be, this is all going to be mm-hmm. public at the UN meeting okay. tomorrow. Okay. I keep asking. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to try to get President Pollack to come to our next meeting. I'm trying to get her to meet with the CJC directly, and I expressed to the UA that I kind of don't understand why the UA is having a meeting about the code with the President, when it would make more sense for the CJC to have had that meeting, since what the UA will be voting on will be the recommendations from the CJC.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think generally asking, since she's there, you know, her views on the campus code, there's been a lot of discussion over the whatever many years, that it would be useful to hear from her right now what is her view on the campus code, and what are her views on any changes that need to be made. But I also think that this gives you a chance to actually not ask questions, but to reassert at the meeting with her, when everybody's there, what our job is, what we are
trying to do.
Yeah.
That is, what are our powers, what are our plans, and to reassert that we will be coming up as a CJC with a final recommendation.
Yeah.
And we will consider everybody's views, and we plan to consult broadly.
Yeah.
Right. So it takes it out of this, well, we simply respond to what the president says.
Yeah, and reiterate the transparency that
right.
public comment right. is going to be a huge thing. There is a chance that the public will absolutely hate what we've done, and we have to be ready for that. Yeah.
On screen is what the president has on her Diversity Inclusion Initiatives Task Force site. This was tasked to the UA, scheduled for the 2019-2020 academic
okay.
year. This is what publicly she has up there that is being tracked. That is what she wants. This is all...
Fantastic.
Yep.
Could you forward this to me,
yep.
please?
Yeah, number three.
And can you forward this actually to the entire CJC? That would be a lot easier. Yeah, so once again, this is really more of like a cleanup for readability and also the aspirational... tone is really important because that takes away from the what Kevin was talking about, like the more punitive trying to get convictions, and that creates opportunity for potentially more restorative justice, which is something we'll be able to really look into and can really help our campus. But by looking at this language, nothing says to create a student code. Narrowing its focus of students. Sorry, I totally missed the third line.
And then
the last one.
So I think that looking at that language, though, narrowing its focus to students hasn't tasked us specifically with changing it altogether to a student code of conduct. And I am going to ask if everyone's okay with it. Is she envisioning a separate student code of conduct, and what does that mean for the faculty and the staff members, and what does that mean for the employee assembly and the faculty senate? Is it focused to the undergraduates and the graduates? Like, I really want, I guess, a more clear picture, since this.
Well, it says in the first line, recommended changes being
yeah.
reviewed. So, in other words, it doesn't say we want to. It's recommended means we want it to be, but we want to narrow the focus.
Yeah.
But we're reviewing them.
Yeah.
Doesn't that suggest that faculty and employees are just out altogether?
Yes,
potentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, educational and aspirational is code word for administrative procedure that has no rights. So don't read that first thing as, oh, this is a move towards. It's not a move towards the restorative. It's a move towards, as the last line suggests, that the dean of students will handle this directly in an administrative way to educate the student by throwing them out of school.
Joe, did you still have?
I just disagree with that notion and fundamentally as a student on this campus, but you know, I'm one member of the committee. I can only represent the students to the highest regard that I can in my capacity, but I just fundamentally disagree with that notion that the students will be thrown out of school.
Yeah, I just also want to add that since they're recommendations, we can choose to interpret that in an aspirational, more like restorative justice way,
yeah.
and that could be the way that the CJC makes the recommendations for sure.
Yeah, that's just a bartender's issue.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's the things that they will want us to pay some attention to if they're going to approve the revision. Your question, Logan, I think one of the questions you really press is, you know, when are you going to give the rest of
yeah.
what you want?
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
The second is about expectations. Martha's not going to know anything about this. That she didn't write that. You know, somebody else
she probably has Kelly and Joel with her tomorrow.
Yeah. So
yeah.
You're going to hear. Are you going to hear is a bunch of words.
Yeah.
And it'll be the position of the administration, but she doesn't know. And I wouldn't bring her in to our next meeting. It's
okay.
a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Bring
her in. She's not going to say anything. You know that's going to be of use to us, and she won't remember. She won't make any commitments, and she won't know anything about what her administration's position is. Later, you know, this could be really useful. We send a draft, have her come and talk to us. Mm-hmm. That's useful. You know, then we have a bargaining position that we put up against and have her respond to it. This is too early. I mean, this would just be a waste of our time.
So based off of just what we were saying a second ago, I have currently as questions, Marty and Reese's are kind of overlap, so it's really like, what is Martha's current view on the campus code and the changes? What does she want done with the current ratified version that's being used? And then for three, I put in quotes narrowing its focus to students, and I just want to ask her what the implication is for faculty and employees and what that means specifically. And then four, based on Richard right now, and which I would have asked, is just asking, when are we getting the procedural section?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It's imperative that we get the procedural section, and we were supposed to have it August 12th, the entire thing, and we're being asked to do this before December, and
Say
August 12th, exactly, because I was on the phone with Martha, and I was on the phone with Madeline Russell, and the agreed upon date was August 12th. It might have been August 13th, but I'm pretty positive. I've written down August 12th. We don't have it, and if we don't have it by a certain point, I don't necessarily think that this committee should consider it at all. I think that even if it comes in, if there's a date that we don't get it by, we should stop considering it because it's just not relevant at some point to just keep waiting. Richard.
So just on that, say August 12th, that's the one kind of thing that you can get a response from the president.
Yes.
And she will go to the council, why have we done this? That is something she can do and remember, and somebody will take notes in the meeting for her to follow up on that. The other part, the implications for the faculty and staff, I don't think she's going to go there or even have any idea.
Probably not, but I would like to have it on the record.
I think more to the point, Logan. You want to say that there's a strong predisposition in the CJC, not an overwhelming one, but a strong predisposition to see the campus code as a unified document,
mm-hmm.
Applying to everybody. And if she has, wants to object to that, boy, I mean, call on me.
If I could call on you in there, I would.
We can have an open discussion of that. I really think that's the way to do it. Not to ask her opinion, but to say that that's our strong predisposition. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any recommendations for how to word questions revolving the JA's office and also Greek life?
Who would you like to see the administrative body report to? What structural changes of the university would you think the JA's office needs to go to? Who goes through the JA's office? I think just asking, what is your aspirational vision? Obviously, aspirational, we always know, is exactly what she's thinking. But what is your vision for a JA's office that is not what it is in the current state?
Yeah, can I just... Well, for one thing, is she coming just to talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're not going to have a chance to, do as many questions as you want. Here's my concern. I
requested half of the time be for the CJC questions. I don't know if I'll get it, but I requested it.
The thing that I wouldn't want to fall into is by getting her views on things. I think it's good to have her say things like, what do you think the implications are for employees, this, for example, and faculty, is that we don't want to get into a thing where it looks like mm-hmm. we're saying, well, what do you want so we can go back and do it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and the more we ask her those kinds of questions, the more it sounds like, well, you see, I told you all these things I wanted and it's not showing up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think keeping things kind of general,
like what
about this, and perhaps asking her if she says things like following up, like, well, you said X, what did you mean by that? I just don't want her to think that we're asking for instructions.
Yes.
Okay.
Richard? I think Reese is exactly right. And you might preface that kind of question or statement by, we're not getting enough information from the administration. I think that would be a good way to do it. You know, really put the ball back in their court. That's the long image.
And if I could just add just the reminders of, we believe in a transparent process, and we will gather information from all constituents who will be affected by this.
Yeah.
A reminder. Yes.
I think also keeping in mind, diplomatically, politically, she does have a final approval mechanism.
Yeah.
Like, she needs to agree to these changes after the UA sends the changes.
Yeah.
She can fundamentally say, no, you didn't do what I wanted you to do,
back.
And send it back, and we can keep going through this process, or she can just pull the whole entire kill switch.
Yeah.
And I am of the belief nowadays that if she has more frustrations over the next year, I think she will say, this is not in line with our peer institutions, this is a liability for the university, and we lose it. And I'm very confident saying it, and I don't like to say a doomsday scenario. That's usually not the type of person who I want to be. But I will say, we need to play this diplomatically.
Marty?
Well, I mean, it's a doomsday scenario in a lot of ways. I would found an institution where anybody can study anything, doomsday scenario, if we don't, you know, I mean, the point is, this was a code that was developed here not to replicate what's going on elsewhere, but because it's growing out of it. I know that's sentimental and everything else, but it actually has basis in what's happened and how successful it's been. Successful. When there have been problems, look at other campuses if you want to find unsuccesses. Look at other areas where protests have occurred. And I think it's rather myopic to take a 4-year experience and let that be the judge of a 30-year tradition.
Richard?
Oh, just a small request that we're almost out of time. Could we have sent up to us again the council draft as we've revised it so far?
Mm-hmm. I'll send that today.
Oh, okay.
I'm back in my office.
Okay, good. Because I'd like to work on that.
Okay, yeah, send that again today. I can send it again after the meeting today. I am going to recommend that, like I said earlier, before we meet next week, we really go through the principles and values section of the current code as it stands, like with a fine-tooth comb, and be ready to discuss that. And to just reiterate that until we talk to Martha tomorrow as the UA, I did think it was important just to switch back to a campus code of conduct, not necessarily out of personal beliefs, but just to make sure that we're retaining the rights across mm-hmm. the university and not potentially doing any damage or making any like really strong statements by the CJC before we're ready to. Yeah, Risa.
I just make one request to people, because in that first part with the principles and values, you know, all that, I went through it and put a lot of suggestions.
Yes.
Some of them are in the text, the way people were doing it. Some of them are in the margins, because I thought it was starting to get kind of messy. So I hope that people will also really look at what's in there in terms of suggestions already. Because I'm going to go back through it again. But, you know, we really aren't starting from scratch on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just super quickly, last item of the day was the University Hearing and Review Board. I still don't have an update on the vacancies. So my only report is that I'm still waiting to see about the vacancies, and once we get that, we're going to have to revisit the process. There are people who were unaware that their periods of service were expiring and would still be interested in serving, so we can explore whether we'd be able to reappoint people who have already gone through the process and the training, and that's just going to be once again considered at a later time.
And where's this supposed to be coming from, this information?
Yeah.
I believe it's from the JA's office, because I've been getting the emails from Michelle about people who are resigning, so I'll double check with her again. But she said that she'd have a final number for me sometime this week. Since we've been meeting so frequently, it's kind of hard to get those reports, but I'm keeping on track with it and trying to figure that out. I'm also
for full transparency, as I'm sure you guys are well aware now, going to make another Google Doc with my questions for President Pollack today, like within the next hour or two. And we are going to, as a group, approve them, because I am going to send them to her ahead of time. Mm-hmm. If I don't get to ask them, at least they'll know that I will get an answer at some point. And I do like the idea of sending people questions ahead of time. It's, we're not trying to trip anybody up, and none of our questions are with ill intentions. So
So when are you going to send them tonight?
I'm going to send it within...
No, you're going to send it to us. Okay. Like, when are you going to send it?
Tonight also, because she's coming to the meeting tomorrow. So I'm going to recommend that somebody move to adjourn the meeting.
I move to adjourn.
And it's seconded by Joe, all in favor. All right, so the meeting of the CJC is adjourned at 2:32 p.m.
Thanks, Logan.
Thank
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.